from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Seth Kaiser with The Athletic, and it is just me talking. No venerable Ryan Tracy, no unmatched Chris Clark, and so you know what that means. It means it's time for a mailbag. We've got lots to cover and not a lot of time to cover it. Just as a fair warning before we start off, I have very little space today as I record to gain freedom from my children. So if you get to hear a guest appearance from one of the Kaiser children, well, there you go. We'll see what they think about football. If it's my three-year-old, I'm guessing he'll say dinosaur and run away. All right, we got lots to cover, like I said. So many of you sent questions. There's a lot going on right now. And, yeah, I'm excited. Let's dive right into it. Mr. C. David, my friend Charlie, asks, which unsung player on the roster is going to be a household name in January? Who will underwhelm and have people calling for him to be benched? I think as far as unsung players go, I've got to stick by my guy Armani Watts. I think he's going to do something, although, you know, is he unsung? Because there's a lot of fans that really like him. Now that Juan Thornhill's been drafted, people are largely forgetting about him because that's the way of things. I think he might seize that third safety spot. I do think Thornhill's going to end up starting. As far as underwhelming and having people calling for him to be benched, as I think about it in terms of what makes fans call for someone to be benched and what makes fans overreact to things, I think very early on, if Hardman doesn't do something really well immediately, I think there could be calls for him to be benched. You also asked, if Mahomes gets hurt and misses the season, Knoxwood, how do we fare with our current roster and Henny under center? Not nearly as well. I don't think we're a Super Bowl contender with Henny under center. Locked On Chiefs ask from Manuel Ruiz 626. Pick one as a tag team partner and fight the other two. Josh Briscoe, Chris Clark, Ryan Tracy. Okay. So the idea is I have to pick one and fight the other two. Okay. So look, Josh, I love you, man, if you're listening to this, but you know, you're under 25. I've had enough conversations with you to guess that you've never been in a fight. Just, you know, you're funny, and so you probably haven't needed to. No offense, but you're out. And so it's between Ryan and Chris. You know, they're both big guys, I just have this feeling, given my conversations with Ryan, I think he might have a little bit more experience. So I'm going with Ryan in this, and it's Ryan and I against Josh and Chris. And if we ever do this, I promise we will videotape it and we will or sell tickets to the event. Cody asks, if you could do one job for the rest of your life, what would you choose, pastor, lawyer, or Chiefs beat writer? If I could choose the job, Chiefs beat writer, I suppose. Maybe not beat writer, but like doing kind of what I do. Brian Carinder. Hey, you told me how to pronounce your last name. Thanks, man. Why does it feel like Armani Watts isn't getting much consideration from fans/analysts, if memory serves? He really seemed to be coming on when he got hurt. Well, you know, I kind of just alluded to that. We forget things quickly. It's like what happens every year. Not a lot of people are talking about Derek Nnadi and Dorian O'Daniel at this point because now we have shiny new rookies. That's the cycle of the NFL. If you get drafted and you play decently but not like a star, you're very quickly forgotten, especially like Watts if you get hurt. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see where he fits in on all this. He's the only other safety on the roster besides Juan Thornhill that I think could be a center field type guy, though he doesn't have his overall athleticism. But I think he's got a good shot at being that third safety. I think he's got a good skill set. We'll see. Sorensen, I think, is going to be tough to unseat there. Coaches seem to love him. Ghost of Van says, hey, Seth, always appreciate your Chiefs input on various social media outlets, specifically Locked On. Well, thank you. Do Veach and Reed consult Mahomes regarding who they draft and or sign? Thanks. I would be absolutely stunned. Andy Reid's pretty old school. I think Brett Veach is as well. I would be very surprised. Maybe they chat with them, you know, about guys that maybe they know a little bit or something like that. But I doubt they give them serious input. That would stun me. Keith McLean asks, does your large adult son, who is of course Colin Sanders, score a touchdown by run, catch, or pass in 2019? Man, I hope they hand him off the ball. If you haven't, check out on my timeline. I tweeted out some of Sanders' high school running back highlights. The man could play a little bit. Now, obviously, that's high school. It's a very different group, but he can move. Add your name, ask better books, Psalms or Proverbs, got to pick one. I pick Psalms, so I won't go into it in too much detail. Colin Campbell asks, if Reeser plays average to above average, are we competent at corner? Well, I would say probably yes, because that removes, assuming no injuries, that removes the question mark that we have after Fuller and Breland. Fuller and Breland are both competent corners. Breland has been he's been a very competent corner, even a good corner for several years now. Fuller's been a good corner for several years now. He was an elite corner in 2017. He was a good corner in 2018. So those two guys aren't very much question marks for me. It's that third spot. Where Charvarius Ward, it's an unknown. So if you have someone like Reeser jump in and play well, then that should be enough. Now, the problem is at corner, even competent can get exposed against good teams, good players, and good schemes. So there's still a risk there. But yeah, Reeser is a guy that if he comes in and plays well, there is definitely that is a best case scenario for Chiefs fans. If someone like Reeser comes in and steps up. B.R. Heckman says, name two surprise players who won't make the 53-man roster. I think it'll surprise some fans. Maybe not. I think Reggie Ragland's going to be a long shot just because I really don't think they're going to go with the Wilson Ragland Hitchens thoughts that we've seen, the idea of Hitchens at will. I would be surprised if they went by that. So Ragland could be one. As far as other surprises go, I think you could, depending on what some of the other young safeties do, you could see like a surprise with like Xavier Williams or Dan Sorensen or one of them. Now that might not be a surprise to fans, but given that the fact that the coaching staff has seemed to really like them, it would be a surprise to me. Logan Grace asks, what's your favorite season/episode of Psych? You know, Psych is one of those fantastic shows, a lot like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where you can't, there's so many good moments that they kind of blend together. I love Psych. I think the whole thing is hysterical. I'm psyched that they're making another movie. So I can't pick just one. I know it's just the laziest thing ever, but I really can't. Noah Dotson asks, do you think Brett Veach is the man for the job after seeing these last two off-seasons he's manned? P.S. What games are you going to this year? Because I want a picture with my man, Seth Kaiser. Noah, that would be amazing. I like taking pictures with people, although I don't photograph well, so... You know, there's that. So I do tentatively think Veach is the man for the job. I think he's done a pretty decent job. It's just tough to say. You've got one draft and now two drafts and two off seasons. It's tough to say. I think the team looks better now. It's going to really be kind of make or break this year and next year are going to be really important. And then seeing how he handles Chris Jones's contract and Patrick Mahomes' contract, those are going to be really big deals because the area where Dorsey struggled was contracts and retaining great players at a rate that doesn't cripple the team, basically. So that's important. As far as games I'm going to this year, it looks like I'll be at the home opener with my friend Charlie, and it looks like I'm probably going to be going to the Vikings game as well. So I'll let people know as time approaches, you know, what the game plan is there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we are going to roll through more questions here.
Hope you guys are enjoying today's show. We want to let you know that we're going to be with you every day of the week, all off season long, just like we are during the football season. So make sure you're subscribed. Send your questions to Seth at Real Minnesota Chiefs Fan on Twitter and check out Ryan's live Q&A sessions Monday nights on the RGR Football channel on YouTube.
We are back and we are going as quickly as humanly possible because you guys sent like 70 questions in. We'll see how this goes. Leighton Walton asks, if you die young, how long before... Come on, guys. How long before Mrs. Minnesota Cheese Fan remarries? Which one is worse? She marries John Elway and becomes Mrs. Donkey Teeth? Or she marries Patrick Mahomes, but he loses his gift, ushering the downfall of the dynasty, becoming Mrs. What's the worst that could happen? It's just a wooden horse. Goodness gracious. Look, I would be worse for me if she married John Elway. I'm sorry. I don't want her to destroy a Chiefs potential dynasty, but Pat seems like a good dude. That said, I mean, you know, he's like 23, so I'm not sure about all that. So, how long before my wife remarries? As soon as she wants. You know, I don't know. I don't think I'd take that long to get over, but as soon as she wants. You guys are hysterical with questions today, by the way. Tyler McBean, you become GM for a day. You can make one signing, one trade, and one cut. What are your moves and why? One signing, I would sign Alan Bailey for depth along the defensive line. Maybe Trey Boston. Now, it's weird to me that they're not interested in him because they've got his secondary coach from last year, but they seem to not, want him. So that concerns me. And so that's why maybe I'd go with like Alan Bailey up front. You know, there's not like this huge list of incredible free agents out there, and Bailey's competent and I think he can help. One trade, Patrick Peterson, obviously, easily. That's not even a question for me. And one cut, probably Sorensen, just because they seem addicted to him. He seems like a decent guy, but I just don't think he moves the needle, and I'd like to see someone else get out there. Mark Kaplas, are you still experiencing snow in your neck of the woods? Sign the southern part of the U.S., Iowa. No, Mark. Well, kind of. We had a few flurries last night, but whatever. We're going to be fine. Jack Small asks, what would be the ideal compensation for Pat Pete, and where do you think our defense would rank if we got him? I'm guessing, given the rumors that were there but not really there, I'm guessing the Cardinals are holding firm with a first-round pick. And so I don't know if that's necessarily ideal, considering the number of years left on his contract. It's a price I would pay, but as we all know, I'm crazy when it comes to draft picks. If we got him, where the defense would rank, I mean, it depends what you mean, like DVOA, points allowed, all that stuff. What I do know is that if they signed, if they had Pat Pete, it would allow them to really have potentially very strong coverage on top of very strong pass rush. And that's where you can really get a defense that kind of builds on itself. So that would be exciting for me. I would love for them to go out there and grab him. Taylor Moss asks, if you could pick one wide receiver from Chiefs history to play in this offense, who would it be and why? So, besides the obvious, you know, Otis Taylor is what everyone would say. As far as in Chiefs history goes, I mean, I think Prime Macklin would be a great fit in this offense. I think he would really fill a role that isn't necessarily filled out there right now. And so either him or Fast Eddie. Eddie Kennison would be exceptional as a deep threat in this offense. Can't stop, won't stop my Chiefs asks, any advice for someone who's interested in sports analytics, how to get started, books, etc. People ask me this all the time. So, I mean, there are a lot of places out there where you can get your name out there in a sense, like whether it's Arrowhead Pride writing fan posts or Arrowhead Addict being a contributor. There are places where you can get on board, and there are a lot of other places, and if I didn't name your website, I'm sorry. Those are just the two most commonly referenced. So there are a lot of places looking for content providers. And so you can get your name out there that way. I would say in terms of books, I mean, Kerwin's book, Take Your Eye Off the Ball, is a good book to start off with. Anything by Chris Brown, the smart football guy. Reading Inside the Pylon is a really important thing. Doug Farrar's book, The Genius of Desperation. There really are a lot of great books out there. And you just Google, you know, football X's and O's, and you will find great books. There's a lot of great resources on YouTube that detail how defenses are set up, how offenses are set up. But the biggest thing, I mean, you use that, and then you go through tape, and you start thinking to yourself, well, what are some questions I have? What are questions that aren't being answered currently? And then you answer them. How, you know, what would I need to chart to find the answer to this question? What do I need to quantify to answer this question? And then you do it. And in terms of getting started, you find a place to produce that content. I wrote for Arrowhead Pride for free for a couple of years before I started getting paid anything. I started off getting paid $50 a month. My apologies. And I was probably writing two or three articles a month at least, or a week at least. And so I $50 a month, you know, that it came out to probably like, you know, $1 an hour. And some people would say don't do it that way. I enjoyed it. I loved it. And a lot of it's just luck. So, I mean, feel free to DM me and I'll give any advice that I can, you know, but a lot of it for me has just been luck, to be perfectly honest. Read It and Weep says, who's the breakout player from last year's draft? Well, I said Armani Watts, but I think Dorian O'Daniel could really, he's been my guy too. It just depends on whether or not they're smart enough to let him start and play him at will. Robert Erhart asks, not a lot left in free agency, but do you think the Chiefs should try to add Jamie Collins and Morris Claiborne or wait for roster cuts to try to add depth slash upgrade to the linebacker and corner groups? Claiborne, I'm not that interested in, to be perfectly honest. That to me would be almost similar to like a Scandrick type signing. And I want them, if they're going to try to churn through guys, then fine, sign multiple guys or just trade for one. You know what I mean? I don't really like the whole just trying to churn through, and if you throw enough mud at the wall, see what sticks. They tried that with Amerson and Scandrick last year. It didn't end very well. I don't know anything about Jamie Collins. I know a lot of people really like him. I would be surprised to see them invest more at inside linebacker right now after everything they invested in Hitchens. I think he's going to get an extra year to kind of prove himself. Matthew Schultz says, Jamaal Charles and Derek Johnson are the two reasons I became a Chiefs fan 10-plus years ago. Who do you see in the near future able to be as dynamic as the pair of them, excluding the reigning MVP? So excluding Patrick Mahomes. Well, in the near future, I think Chris Jones is going to be a big part of it. And I think there's a possibility that Frank Clark is a big part of it. You know, Tyrann Mathieu, his contract is only 3 years. So it's hard for me to think that he is going to lead to another generation of Chiefs fans unless he ends up signing another contract with Kansas City. Travis Kelce's obviously getting up there, so I don't know about next generation. But I think it's going to be 95% Mahomes when people think of this next phase of the Chiefs. Nick Abel asks, have you seen the Darwin Thompson 500-pound squat video yet? The guy's an absolute animal. Yes, I have. It's very intimidating. If you haven't seen that, take a look at it. I mean, he squats 500 pounds. It doesn't even look like it was hard. It was very impressive. He's like 5'8", 200 pounds. I mean, he's a big dude. Now, maybe some of you that are like actual lifters are thinking, oh, that's not that impressive. And if that's not that impressive to you, good for you. But, you know, it's a lot to me. Ty DeClaire asks, what are some of the biggest schematic changes we can expect under Spags this year? I don't know. You know, it's tough to say. He took a year off. He's talked about, you know, he's learned stuff. He's developed his scheme. He's, you know, I doubt that it looks exactly the same as it looked in New York. I think you should expect to see more downhill attacking stuff from the linebackers. You should expect to see the defensive line being a lot more active up front, especially in the pass rush. But other than that, it's tough to say. Those are two changes that I think were desperately needed. I do think you're going to see a little bit more, complicated stuff on the back end, which, you know, for one reason or another, that never seemed to work with Sutton. When they tried to run zone defense looks, there seemed to just be this huge problem with communication errors constantly when they tried to do anything more complicated. I'm hoping that he's capable of running a defense and communicating things better to where that's not a problem on the back end. But we'll see. Right now, it's mostly a mystery. Brandon asks, why didn't the Chiefs use Sherman much after the first couple games of the year? He seems capable of so much more. Example, see Pro Bowl. Think that changes this year? I don't. I like Anthony Sherman a lot. I'm glad they kept him on the roster. I think he is he's a very, very, very good fullback, very, very, very good teammate, very, very, very good special teams player, very good leader. But the reality is he's just not very explosive. I think he's reliable, and he actually looked like he's got the vision and patience to run that inside zone a little bit. But given all the running backs that they grabbed, I would be surprised by that. I mean, they could, but I doubt they will. And now, if they did, I would love it, but I just don't see it happening. All right, we are going to take one more break, and when we come back, we are going to see if we can roll through about 100 more questions.
Now you can get Locked On Chiefs on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the normal places. We're here for you 5 days a week, all off season long, with guests, analysis, film review, athleticism, my draft guide, and all kinds of stuff from The Athletic and Chiefs Digest. Make sure you get subscribed today, and you can do it over on the Himalaya podcasting app.
All right, we're back. We are just going to... we're going to blaze through these guys. You have no idea. And then you're going to be able to listen to me gradually become more and more stuffed up as allergy season progresses through the recording of this podcast. It's going to be great. Noah Breitbach asks, do you think the Chiefs should draft Bryce Hall out of Virginia to pair with Juan Thornhill next year? Absolutely. Bryce Hall, so he's a corner. He played at Virginia with Juan Thornhill, and he pops out on screen when you are even, like, when I was watching Thornhill, after a few times, I was like, holy crap, who is 34? So he is a huge corner. I mean, we're talking probably like 6'1", 6'2", probably 210. I mean, big dude, moves extremely well, uses his body extremely well. He guides wide receivers out of bounds constantly. It's hilarious. Really good tackler, great feet for his size. I would love it if the Chiefs got him. I think he's probably going to be a top corner next year, if not the top corner. All right, MV Pat says, cut one, trade one, sign one long term. Charvarius Ward, Rashad Fenton, Tremon Smith. Cut one would be probably Fenton. Trade one, Smith, because maybe you get like a seventh round pick. Sign one long term, Ward. And that's only because he's the only one out of them that's shown anything right now. Chad Nelson says, heard rumor of Jamie Collins is a good fit in KC. Thoughts? I have none, because I don't know. Like I said earlier, I've seen that, but I don't necessarily know whether or not, you know, I just don't know whether they're looking to really add more to the inside linebacker group. Miles asks, do you prefer 810 almost entirely sports or ESPN? KC almost entirely sports, and why? You know what? Anything that my friend Josh Briscoe does is great. Andy Simpson asks, any rumor talk of DJ or Charles returning as coaches? I haven't heard anything. I know Andy Reid said with DJ in particular, he said that he'd always be welcome back as a coach. I hope that's something that happens. I think that he could really make a difference in that area. His recognition was amazing. So I haven't heard anything like that with Charles. So I haven't heard any talk. I would love it personally. With Charles, I don't know whether he's a coach type player. A lot of what he did seemed just so intuitive. So we'll see. But DJ in particular, I think, is someone that will coach at some point. Don Inbody says, Seth, talk about the offensive line. That's the real key to our offense. Don, no offense, but that's absolutely not true. The real key to our offense is Patrick Mahomes. Then can we stop a running attack? I don't know. They couldn't last year. I think they should be better at it this year. They've got big bodies up front. But, you know, the real problem wasn't stopping the running game last year. It was the fact that when it mattered, they couldn't stop anything. That's a big deal. You know, when you're facing third and 10 and you can't get stops, that's an issue. As far as the offensive line, I'm very comfortable with the offensive line. I think Fisher is a decent left tackle who's come a long ways. I don't mind Irving at left guard. At center, you know, they drafted someone that there might be a little bit of competition there, but I'm comfortable if Austin Ryder starts. And my former large adult son, Mitch Morse, was very comfortable with that as well. The LDT can lock down right guard. He just needs to stay healthy. And Schwartz is obviously one of the best right tackles in the NFL. So I think they're pretty solid across the board there. And again, as far as it being the key to the offense, I respectfully disagree. It's just not. The idea that offensive lines can win you games is a myth, in my opinion. I've looked at this quite a bit. I'll probably write an article about this eventually. It's largely a myth that they can win you games. They can lose you games to an extent, but when you have a franchise quarterback, that is always going to be the real key to your offense. Big Tess asks, with the current roster, if you were GM, would you make another trade for a quarterback? Yes, I would. Seriously, I don't know how many times I have to beat this drum. I don't think it's going to happen at this point, but man, I would love it. Donnie Couch asks, from a pure football perspective, do you like the idea of Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman lining up next to each other? Not saying I support what he does from a football perspective, just saying from a football perspective. Also, DJ retiring today made me cry. Man, DJ retiring today made a lot of people cry. So, you know, with Hill, if we're going to talk the football stuff, I mean, my thoughts on the other stuff, I've talked about it pretty extensively here on 810. I've talked about it on Twitter, so no need to go in that. From a football perspective, it would be pretty crazy because those two and Watkins would be somehow an even faster offense than we had last year. So that would be pretty crazy. Chad Hildebrand says, besides Pat Peterson, of course, who would you want the Chiefs to either sign or trade for before training camp at this point? Any corner. I want corners on this team because I think, you know, there's this big conversation right now about whether coverage or pass rush is more important. The two are so symbiotic that if one of them is terrible, it hurts the other one. And so I really want them to stack up on corner as much as possible because they look like they could have a really good pass rush this year. Zach Albers asks, are the Chiefs stocking up on running backs so they can use them as receivers in a crazy new three running back set offense this year? Joking, kind of. I don't think so, but I don't think it's a coincidence that they're stacking up on, or they're stocking up on running backs who can line up wide, like what Damian Williams does. What we saw last year, more often than we've seen in previous years, and they've done it before, but they did it more than ever, and I bet you they'll keep doing it because of the results they got, was motioning running backs out of the backfield and lining them up in the slot or lining them up wide. And the reason that's so effective is because a lot of modern NFL defenses, their natural reaction to that ends up with a linebacker on the slot wide receiver. And Sammy Watkins scored a couple touchdowns that way. It creates this huge mismatch, and defenses don't know how to deal with it at this point. And so if you got two running backs in the backfield and you motion them both out, you could just cause chaos out there. So I like it. Anytime you can mess with another team's personnel grouping, you should do it. Daddy Fixit asks, if Andy Reid wins a Super Bowl or few, where do you rank him all time in coaching? Well, it depends on whether he wins a Super Bowl or a few, honestly. If he wins two Super Bowls with Kansas City while he coaches for another, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, I think he would be up there. He would be in a tier, obviously, below Belichick, but he would be right there with everyone else. I mean, he has been throughout his career one of the most innovative and best offensive coaches in the league. And he is imitated constantly, even at age 60 and 61. And a guy that is a trailblazer like that and has won as much as he's won matters a great deal. It's just the Super Bowl that eludes him. Richard Nasty asks, is the Chiefs number two tight end on the roster? I don't know what they're doing with that. Seriously, I have no idea what the plan is there. You know, they let Demetrius Harris walk. I kind of figured they might address it in the draft. It was a deep draft for tight end. They didn't. I kind of figured maybe they would sign someone free agency. They really haven't done much there. So I genuinely don't know what the plan is. Maybe they plan on using two tight ends less, which would make sense because I've been calling for them to use it more. So there you go. Alexander Fox asks, who's your favorite Marvel Avenger or DC Justice League member if you're more of a DC guy? Captain America and Batman. I'm very basic in my superhero preferences. Dylan Dawson asks, besides Colin Saunders, who's your favorite draft pick? So this is an interesting thing for me because I go back and forth. Thornhill, I wasn't that high on before the draft. The more I've watched him, the more he's grown on me. The more people I've talked to, the more he's grown on me. And the more I've heard about him flashing at rookie camp, he's grown on me quite a bit. I think he could really make a difference. But I also do really like Hardman. I think he could do something. I really like all three of the Chiefs' first three draft picks. Carl Hungus asked, less satisfying experience Avengers Endgame or the AFC Championship game? The AFC Championship game, easily. I enjoyed Avengers Endgame, so there you go. All right, let's see. We've got time for just a couple more. Scott Franklin says, tell us your starting front in 7 in the 43. Tell us your starting front 6 in nickel. So for my starting front, you've got Clark, Nnadi, Jones, and Okafor. And the three that I would play would be DOD, Hitchens, and Wilson. So that would be my 43. My front six and nickel I would swap out Nnadi for Saunders, and I would take Wilson off the field. And then having DOD, those four, and then as far as a front six, I would probably put a safety on the field, even though that's not technically nickel. But so what you're hearing from me is I'm not really a huge fan of nickel. I'm more of a dime guy if you're going to go that far and take people off the field. But I would keep the same guys up front for the most part. Obviously, maybe occasionally rotating in Speaks or Ogba, that kind of stuff. But I would take Wilson off the field, and I would swap out Nnadi because I think Saunders might be a better pass rusher. All right. George Seidelman? I think you've told me this before too, George. I'm sorry. If you had to choose between another 500 TD, 5,000-yard performance from MVP Pat, but the defense is just as bad next season, or an average Mahomes season and a Ravens-Jaguars type of epic defense, you know, those Ravens, Jaguars types of defenses don't come around very often. And here's my thing. An average Mahomes season, we don't know what that looks like yet. Maybe what we saw last year was an average Mahomes season. I doubt that. But, you know, if an average Mahomes season is like, you know, a 35, 40 touchdowns and 4,000 yards, sign me up for that with an elite defense all day. All right. Let's see. We're going to do, we only have time for one more. I sure do wish that we had time for the rest of them. Sorry, guys. There's like 15 or 20 I'm not even going to have time to get to. Todd Reeves asks, assuming Hill is not on the roster, would you be for or against trading for AJ Green? I think it's only a one-year deal, so depending on what they're asking for, yeah, that would be, I'd be more than okay with that. I think AJ Green with Patrick Mahomes would be a whole lot of fun. I don't think he's on the block, but that would be awesome. All right. That is what we have time for today, guys. As always, I appreciate your questions. Make sure to check out everything that the guys are doing at their various stuff. Check out the stuff that I'm writing at theathletic.com. Really appreciate you guys, as always, sending a ton of questions. My favorite part of this job. I hope to talk to you guys again next week. Remember, it is a great week to be a Chiefs fan.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.